This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I've been joined in the studio by
Arvini Brunch
and Christine Wong.
It feels like we've been sat in here for a little while, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we've actually been here since 10 a.m. Just before 10 a.m. this morning. Of course, it is Monday, the 1st of March, 2021, 12:06 here in the studio. Grotty, grim, and a little grey outside. Did you guys have any rain this weekend? By the way,
yeah.
A little bit last night, right?
Yes.
Yeah, no.
No, you didn't have any?
No, I could smell rain. I didn't have rain.
It was that first, you know what? Mm. It's been so dry and so sunny and so hot for the past couple of weeks or however long it's been. Mm-hmm. And yesterday I did my laundry, I put it outside, and I did that whole thing where I'm like, I'm just going to relax a little bit on the sofa.
Oh, no. Oh.
And kind of drifted off.
Can't
and
I let woke, your guard down.
Woke up to the smell of rain, and I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. First time in weeks. But anyway, that's how my weekend went. Let us know how your weekend went. And of course, we do have a question for you. And it's about working from home or not working from home. The question is your workplace planning to end working from home completely in the near future? And how do you feel about it? You can let us know. We have a poll over on Twitter. We've got the same question over on Instagram. What are the options, Arv?
So the options are yes, and I'm glad. Yes, and I'm sad. No, and I'm glad. No, and I'm sad.
You've been working on that for a while, haven't you? This is what happens when you're stuck at home. You become a lyricist. What are you basing this story on then? What this question? Why are we talking about it?
It's an article on Harvard Business Review, and it's a guide to planning a return to the office for leaders and employers and CEOs.
What about a guide for returning to the office for the plebs like us, you know?
We factor in.
We factor
in.
Okay. Yeah. Then I've got a story coming up. This is from CNBC, actually. It's about a new kind of window shopping. Pandemic window shopping, of course. I admit to being guilty of this, where you shop online, you look at products online, you find something you like, you add it to your cart, and then don't buy it.
Ooh.
It's a wish list.
It's like a wish list. Mm. More on that in a moment. Chris, what are you wrapping up with?
So story three will be about Japanese companies battling food waste with the help of AI.
Interesting stuff. Mm-hmm. Let us know then, folks. Is your workplace planning to end work from home completely in the near future? And how do you feel about it? Yes, I'm glad. Yes, I'm sad. No, I'm glad. And no, I'm sad.
You were a poet and you didn't even know it.
Exactly. You can also get us on WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Right, Arv, kick it off.
Yeah, so the article starts by saying that the population of vaccinated people is growing and the number of new COVID cases is declining. This is more based in the US. And they say that a good portion of the working age population should be vaccinated. CEOs at companies that remain all remote are starting to think seriously about how and how much to bring their employees back to work, which is, I think it's something a lot of workplaces are thinking about, and what will be the long-term impact on the culture of dividing the workforce, and when do I have to make these choices, and whom should I listen to, and when? So they've sort of put out a bunch of guidelines that may help. First, they say that wise leaders will resist pressure to define a policy or make final decisions until it's necessary to do so. Mm-hmm. One key success factor is to buy time to gather more information and leave options open as long as possible. Mm-hmm. Leaders should keep their personal preferences close to the vest so you don't get too many people giving opinions and messing up your think process, your thought process. And don't put too much stock in data gleaned from employee surveys. So this is interesting. Many companies have asked workers how many days, if any, they want to spend in the office post-pandemic. What people say after a year of sheltering in place may not be meaningful, especially if by then they've had several months of living with fewer restrictions. So they should also distinguish the views of their employees by polling managers separately. And they must ensure collaboration across department lines, coach employees, deal with people and relationship problems. So what managers think about the return to work plan should carry special weight and count for more than the views of people who report to them.
I find that a very controversial point of view.
Yeah, exactly. Because it says that the leaders and the employees, employers who make the decisions have a different thought process than the employees. So they have to do what is right for the company instead of listening to what different people think about remote work.
We'll get back to that in a moment. Mm. Okay. Yeah.
So leaders should recognize that company size is also an important factor. A large company can't survive without some predictability and routine. Leaders should not get transfixed by technological solutions to the problem. This is another interesting point. Should not get transfixed by technological solutions to the problem of remote work when making this decision. So the essential question is not how can we use tech to make remote work more efficient. Instead, it's the big question should be what will we not be able to do well if we go too far in that direction by making everyone work from home? And what does going too far mean? So CEOs must factor in the cost to the culture of over-reliance on remote work, and real teams versus ones in name only cannot be built online. Loyalty and dedication to bigger purpose requires that people go through good times and bad times together. Couple of more things, and I think this is where they sort of separate their opinions from the other larger companies. They say that finally, CEOs should avoid being influenced by high-profile companies like Google, Twitter, Facebook, Adobe, and Oracle. Recently, I think also Salesforce and Spotify that quickly announced plans to permanently embrace remote work because the most active advocates for expanded remote work are in industries that have the most to gain financially. Software development technology companies, because remote workers use tech products and social media more than people do in offices, which gives tech industries a rooting interest in what other companies decide. And they shouldn't be used as the model for setting policy. And it basically ends by saying that whatever decisions their CEOs make over the next few months will shape the work culture and the way people work in the coming years and for decades and decades to come. Because it's essentially changed the way we work, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my view on this article was that it kind of makes sense, but it's also coming in from a point of view that is ignoring the way that people want to work moving forward.
Okay.
Mm. Instead of looking at the obvious signs of, you know, this can be adopted, they're looking at should it be adopted and why. They're taking a more sort of like pessimistic view towards the whole work from home thing.
I think what it's doing, this is almost like a preempt to what's going to happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you remember before we got locked down originally, and it started off where every now and again we'd hear that phrase, the new normal.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of, you didn't hear it a lot, but you knew it was something that is potentially on the horizon, right? Mm-hmm. And then it became the norm. And then we started discussing it and it became something that was integrated into our lives.
Mm-hmm.
This feels almost like, we know you like working from home, but these are the things you need to consider. And eventually, we're all coming back to work.
Yep.
And that's kind of how that discussion seems to be framed, right? I completely understand what they say, that managers think differently and have to make different kinds of decisions. The difference is now the scales have been tipped ever so slightly in the fact that most people who are now working from home have had that opportunity to work from home for a year and more and have realized that it is possible and they can be as productive and they can form teams online despite what this article is saying, because I've interviewed people who have started businesses entirely online without meeting one another and have become profitable.
Successful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it's interesting that a lot of this discussion seems to be, like you said,
manager-centric.
Quite, like, first of all, manager-centric, but also not taking into account the fact that if your employees, like, let's say, you know, for example, you are a CEO and you decide, look, we want to go back to the office. We want to do this. Are you not going to take into account the fact that employees who will want to have some form of flexibility might look for options elsewhere?
Yeah.
I mean, at the heart of it, right, like, you can't really make a call about the nature of the workplace without that affecting your employees. And this feels like, I don't know, it feels like it's not really taking into account the fact that whatever decision you make will affect the majority of your company. Managers are not, in my head, they're not the majority of the people in the company, right? So
the idea of special waiting, you know, I get it, but I don't think that's a fair assessment, you know?
I will say, however, that it is an interesting point that the companies, the bigger companies that are embracing remote work might be the ones that benefit the most from the services used during remote working. That I do find an interesting and legitimate point. But I don't think that that's enough to necessarily discourage people from experimenting with a more permanent, flexible working policy.
So the reason why I found this like very interesting, and also we'll get in touch with Celia Rasasegram after the break, because we, like us three, us here, we don't know what it's like to work from home full-time entirely. Because we've been working like, you know, on and off, like in rotations, like every other week from the start of this pandemic and MCO and stuff. So I'm wondering, like, from another point of view, people who have worked at home like for at least a year and they've not had the chance to go to the office and meet their friends and colleagues and stuff, do they have the same sentiments? Or do they, you know, do they have like some kind of like, they are fed up of working at home and they're like, no, I cannot wait to get back to the office and do my work. So that'll be interesting. Maybe that's a different point of view. Who knows?
For sure. And I'm sure we have friends and colleagues and whatever that have been in that situation. I've spoken to them. You've spoken to them. You know, we know how some of them feel about this. Some absolutely love it and some...
Not so much.
Not so much. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a short break, though. Of course, they're our opinions and a start of our opinions. We're going to discuss more about it in a few moments. The question then, is your workplace planning to end work from home completely in the near future, and how do you feel about it? Yes, and I'm glad. Yes, and I'm sad. No, and I'm glad. No, and I'm sad. Hey, let us know what you think. Get us via WhatsApp as well, 018-789-8899. The Beach Boys up next with Darlin' here on BFM 89.9.
Blockbusters for me. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with...
Christine Wong.
Arvind Yuvaraj.
Our poet laureate, Arvind Yuvaraj. Give us the options to the question, Arv.
Yeah, so the question is your workplace planning to end work from home completely in the near future, and how do you feel about it? The options are yes, I'm glad at 22.6%, yes, I'm sad at 27%, no, I'm glad at 36.5%, and no, I'm sad at 13.9%.
Don't give it me day job. Right, if you want to get in touch via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Of course, we're having this discussion as well. We'd like to know some more feedback. Do we have any numbers over on Instagram, Christine?
We do. So unfortunately, no poetry on Instagram. Just a yes or no poll. I'm sorry. But at the moment, yes is at 44% and no is at 56% of people planning to end work from home.
I've got somebody anonymous over here on WhatsApp. Shall we have this? Yes, it's tricky. I work with somebody, so when work from home and the VPN is used to access the sensitive information, it slows down our system. So when the opportunity to return to the office was there, some of us with unstable internet connection took advantage of it. It also came with another added benefit when returning to the office, and with the implied term that our internet connection is unstable, we get to segregate between work time and personal time, something we didn't have when we were working from home. I personally found that working from home intrusive, and I found that management was expecting us to work longer hours and be available 24/7, regardless whether we were on our off days. Been there, done that. We all know what that's like sometimes. It's difficult to do it, right? I don't know whether... Here's the thing, right? I like the idea that we are on this rotation that we're on, how we're doing it right now. I think for me that works. And I think for a lot of people out there, given the opportunity, they'd probably say the same thing or something similar. Rather than it be 1 week on, 1 week off, they might like 2 days on, 2 days off, or 3 days off or something like that.
It might even be a way to do the not four-day work week, but four-day work from office week.
Something like that,
you know?
Yeah. But enough about that. We have an expert on the line. Who we got?
Yeah, so we got in touch with Celia Rasasegram. She is the Chief Experience Officer at Kindler Employee Experience. And Celia, you know, is it even realistic for companies to expect their employees to ditch work from home completely and return to the office full-time? Why or why not?
There's no black and white answer to this. A lot of companies really suffered last year. A lot of businesses really suffered last year. Work from home was really thrust upon some of these businesses. There's no transition. There's no planning. You know, it required a certain amount of such heavy investment. Some companies didn't even have laptops for their employees, right? Some companies, of course, over the last 11 months have managed to figure out work from home, get into the swing of things, but some haven't. Some are still experiencing lower levels of productivity. I think a key factor is nature of business and the industry. What are most of the employees in their workforce doing? What kind of job scopes they have? right? Now, these companies who are unable to get to 100% productivity from work from home, they would have been communicating this to their employees throughout, you know, the pandemic. They would have been talking about remote work impact. They would have also probably applied to MITI and would have been operating during this MCO at some scale of workforce. And this communication, staying open with their employees, sharing with their employees updates, what's happening, continuing that conversation with the employees about the pandemic and the effects on the company, would help employees understand from very early on that as soon as the MCO is lifted, they would be expected to return to work. And that's fine, right? So it's been clear and clearly communicated. If companies have been silent, not communicating, if employees don't know if there has been financial impact, if there has been productivity impact, then companies shouldn't expect employees to just, you know, magically get to work once MCO is lifted. So it's really all about communicating to the employees and sharing with them the whys and the why nots.
Okay, so let's look at things from an employee standpoint. Will returning to the office full-time bring back a sense of normalcy? Or do you think it'll create a sense of being overworked because we've had a taste of the whole work from home?
You know, different sides to this. Based on the conversations I've had and what I see, I think it might actually be the reverse. I think work from home is giving a lot of people work from home fatigue. You know, with working from home, there are no defined lines with work and life. There's no time to decompress, time to unwind. There's no driving to the office, driving home from the office, listening to your favorite music, using that time for yourself. There's no lunch hour. Yeah, so it's just work, 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 work. And, you know, a great example is the calls, right? The meetings that we have. We schedule them back to back, you know, 10 to 11, 11 to 12. You would never do that in a face-to-face office environment because we know we need time in the middle, whether it's just to, you know, get to the other meeting room, you know, go for a toilet break, make time to drive to the meeting place and drive back. And another point on video calls, it does make the decision-making process slower. I've heard this from a lot of companies, you know, where previously you could just walk into someone's room for a decision and maybe that person needs 2-3 other people to give input. They shout out to the people to come into the room. A decision is made. Right now, it's like, okay, you know, let's get on a call. Let's schedule a call. Make sure these 3 people are on the call. Make sure they're available. Okay, somebody set up the meeting. And it's a process that can be frustrating for employees. I also know people who are living alone during this work from home. And they've been done with work from home, right? Since like May last year. A lot of them are like, they don't see the attraction anymore. And I think when I talk to them, I do sense their anxiety building up. These people are overworked now. And I think returning to work would be very welcome. And of course, you know, in some phase, in some manner, returning to work, but I think it would be welcomed. On the flip side, of course, there's a lot of nice things that we found from work from home. We found our passion for cooking. We found more family time. We found, you know, not needing to commute. We found great new ways to exercise. So that is a flip side, and it's all about finding our balance and adjusting priorities, both for the employer and the employee.
So for companies that have decided to end working from home once it's relatively safe again, how should they handle the transition while still keeping employees happy and morale high?
Approach the transition back to work the same way we approach the transition to work from home, right? The key thing is communicate, 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 right? Get a manager to be on top of it and manage it just like a project. Open a communication channel. ensure employees have a very safe place to ask questions about returning to work and to share their concerns. Update all employees very openly about what are the SOPs the company is going to follow, what are the precautionary measures the company is going to take, anything that can give them comfort and assurance that the employer is taking care of them. Look at the population and demographics of your employees. Target employees which you know may need assistance, right? So for example, those with children, what is the solution? Is it daycare? Are they going to school? Who's going to take care of them? A lot of us have suffered some form of loss of income since the pandemic. Now, these employees specifically, if you have B40 employees in your company, they would not have got overtime or they would not have got certain allowances. So try and empathize with them. Try and foresee what their concerns would be. Engage them, talk to them, and help them. Another group that I would like to highlight are the ones taking public transport, right? I guess they would have some form of worry or concern if they're taking LRT and buses every day to work. So help them out. Let them come in later so they beat the rush hour, things like that. And lastly, I just want to highlight, there are a percentage of people who have this COVID-19 anxiety. They are worried. They are anxious. They are stressed about it. You would know them because these are people who probably haven't been to malls since March 2020. And that's fine, right? It's in our face every day. So work with these employees separately. They need a little bit more comfort. They need a little bit more assurance. And they need a little bit of handholding to return to work. Work with their HODs, work with line managers. Try as much as possible to cover all the employees that you feel are at risk or having concerns or going to face some issues about returning to work.
So should employers be open to allowing certain employees to work from home on a part-time or even like a permanent basis, like depending on the circumstances? And how should they decide what's fair while still remaining fair across the board?
So it is a trend, right? It's been before COVID-19, yeah, four-day work week, work from home options, flexi hours. And it's also people can have that work-life balance, can have more quality life with the children. If a company is looking to increase their work from home options, increase their flexi hours for a certain group of people, let's say parents with children below school age, right? The best thing that they can do is be open and transparent about their policy. Publish the options, publish the criteria, have employees write in who need that flexibility and evaluate each situation. Malaysians are very caring. They know that parents need more help. They know and will be able to empathize that children not going to school, parents maybe not being able to afford the same kind of childcare. They know these are very real problems. I doubt that employees would feel unjust or unfair as long as the company is really open and transparent about it.
Okay, so the last question of the day then. So the nature of work has changed and companies like Spotify and Salesforce are switching to remote work. Won't companies that ditch work from home completely seem a little bit out of date? And how can they justify that?
So Spotify and Salesforce, you know, end-to-end digital, I'd be surprised if they weren't remote working, right? A lot of companies are not like that. If companies can't continue some form of flexibility, like they've really looked at it and they know they can't, all they have to do is communicate to the employees. Deep, consistent, constant, open communication. Now, that means showing them that 2021 is critical to their whole recovery from 2020. Explain to employees why and what needs to be done, right? Share with them how hard it is. And they need everyone to be 120% for 2021. Yeah, get into details. Talk about productivity. Talk about projects. Talk about financial goals for 2021. Let every single employee know that they are needed to help rebuild the company again. Employees know you know, sadly, that it is a tough market out there right now. Yeah, they need to do a little bit extra to help their companies recover from last year. They know the market is hard. They know the economic climate. I reckon if you really share with them and get them on board, keep them communicating, keep them engaged, and keep doing it throughout 2021. Making sure, of course, it's real reasons that you're bringing them to the office and make it fun for them. Throw them a little welcome back to work party. Refresh the office if you can. Make sure you have regular, you know, sanitizing routines and keep the communication going throughout 2021. Here's a message, though, for employees. I would reckon 0.5%, 1% of employee population who have just been binge-watching Netflix, sleeping at 5 a.m., 6 a.m., not being productive, not being available when they need to be, not being contactable during work from home. If your company doesn't approve work from home, it is on you. Like, it is your fault.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know why I love that? Because it's the whole thing about a few bad apples, that we've been talking about. Like, everyone can sort of be on the same page and know how to work from home and stuff. But if you're abusing that and the company decides to revert to like a full-time work and goes like no working from home because you guys just don't know how to handle this, it's pretty much, it is their own fault.
It's your fault.
Yeah.
Agreed. Right, we're going to have to wrap up though, but thank you for those opinions, Celia. We're going to take a short break. Of course, the question that we're asking is your workplace planning to end work from home completely in the near future, and how do you feel about it? Poll running over on Twitter. We're asking the same question on Instagram. And if you want to get in touch via WhatsApp, 01878898899. We've got some music coming up from the Black Crowes. We'll have the update from Bursa at break, courtesy of Arv. And then on to story number two in just a moment. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.